The following is a presentation of Stewed Productions.
Oh yeah, I've got the intro music, I almost forgot.
It's time for a deep dive with the craft beer classics that made you fall in love back in the day. It's a refresher course on the best beers of all time. This is Interbrews, Required Drinking. Now here are your hosts, Keenan Zarling and Josh Stewart.
That's us.
Hello.
Hello, as the music fades out. All right.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. It's been a handful of weeks since we've been able to do a show, my friend. But we're we're here.
It's a it hasn't become a habit yet. It's really more just like, hey, you know what? We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah,
like, I got. Like, I'm at the grocery store. What do you want to pick up? What do you want to do?
I kind of like it that way, though. I mean, we should, you know, there's probably protocols that would be better or whatever. But, you know, what are you going to do? We're making it work.
Yeah.
How you been since let's just get back to, like, how have you been?
You know, I've been doing all right. Yeah. Admittedly, we got school starting up. I've got a 5-year-old, and she is starting kindergarten.
Ooh.
Remotely.
Ah, okay.
The long and short of it is, as a parent, nobody knows what's going on. No one knows what to expect. I can't get a straight answer from anyone.
True.
And there's lots of conflicting information as far as what to expect.
Yep.
And so tomorrow's actually kind of a hectic day because we've got the district is doing a simulation day where basically just kind of like it's a week before school starts. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to sign on and they're going to like go through the motions and then hopefully everything is a-okay and there's no big like, yeah, server's crashed. Sorry, everybody.
Right.
But again, she's in kindergarten. And so I'm sitting here going like, are they really going to expect her to do, 8 to 3:30 worth of computer time?
Nah, I
don't expect it, but I haven't heard anything to the contrary from the school.
Right. I don't know. This whole thing, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about that as we record this, as people watch back on this 20, 30 years in the future.
Yeah, this is documentation. This is part of, there's a better word for it. This is a primary source for some 8th graders history fair.
Yeah. Beer in the world of COVID or in the pandemic. I don't know. The next pandemic, they'll have to go back. And what did they do back then, 100 years from now, when there's I think they're every 100 years, it looks like we're scheduling them.
That's fair. And so I won't be there, hopefully, knock on wood. I won't be there.
Medical advances being what they are, you're pretty healthy there. You're streamlined. You look like you're getting ready for a swim meet.
No, that's mostly because like I trimmed the beard and I trimmed my hair. Uh-huh. And so I am aerodynamic. It's also just like, it's low maintenance.
It is, right? It is.
Like, I just stop. Like, I don't have to, worry. I worry about my hair messed up. It's like, but nobody sees me. I'm at home all day. I've just been doing all right. Mostly just wrangling kids, trying to maintain that sense of, schedule when there is no schedule.
Yeah.
What about you? I know things are kind of getting, sports are back on. So I know you're getting back to work and doing your,
if we can get them to, that's the thing. All right. So my day job which is a night job is sports TV. And if they'll continue to play sports, it's okay. They got started. They can play, but then they decided not to play. And like, are they actually playing? And then it was like, some people were like, no, we're not. And then they are. And then they all came back I'll be honest with you. I'm ready for all the seasons to be over. There was college football last night, which I watched about 5 minutes of it. And I was like, okay, fine. And then there was UFC fights last night. And I watched a few of those. And there's something about fighting to me. It doesn't need any explanation. Two people in a cage. You don't have to know who they are, what they do. And everything.
Yeah, no, it's just who. Oh, man, that guy hit the other guy really hard.
Yeah, like, everybody kind of gets it. And so to me, that's like, having watched so much sports for so many years, I get over most of it. It's like, it's after so many seasons of having to be you know, enmeshed in all of that. I'm like, okay, it's another season. There will be another season next year.
Yep.
I get it. It's senior day. I mean, I'm sure it's special for you, but goodbye. It's like, it all becomes, it's like a, you know, I don't know. I'm cynical, but I'll say this. I'm glad it seems like reality is coming back online.
Yeah, like, it seems like slowly but surely we're getting a new reality.
There's actually a lot. I mean, as crazy as everything is right now between the political side and the socio whatever, and then random people jumping out from behind screens.
Oh, I know. Just every day people jumping in and out of my
You just never know what's going to happen. I feel like there. If you dig for it and look for it and get past all of everybody else's emotions, there's some positive things. So like with this, the virus seems to be, it seems to be waving down. The numbers are all charting down. There was just a big up, you know, a big update from the CDC that nobody's talking about, or very few people are talking about, that if you're healthy, right, the deaths from COVID, and let's get real morbid before we start talking about beer, but only 6% of the total deaths in the US were only COVID deaths. This is the CDC just kind of, they're like, oh, we forgot to hit this update. Bloop. Sorry. And then they didn't say a word about it. And it's just kind of there. Like, that's a really significant, you know,
thing. Right? And I think that's one of the, we should probably like pick a point to stop before we start going down the tunnel vision of like COVID stats and everything.
Right.
But like the, comorbidities from what I understand, I'm also a epidemiologist in my spare time.
Yeah, it's the other show.
But yeah, no, we'll do that another time. the issue with what I understand with COVID, a lot of it is the comorbidities. Mm-hmm. Where like, hey, if you have any other like blood issues, mm-hmm. like you know, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, whatever, or hey, you've got this other disease, mm-hmm. or this other condition, mm-hmm. whoa, shoot, watch out. And it's like, okay, well, cool, you're healthy. Yeah. And it's like, well, are you? do you I haven't had a physical in Lord knows how long. Don't tell all my parents, but like, you know, you don't know. You know, if you're not monitoring your health very uh-huh. closely, you don't know.
Right.
Those other underlying factors. And let's be real, man, America kind of fat.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole gang of people that are on those, on the risk factor. It's probably, when you add all those risk factors up between age and then the whole big list of things that they did. And now that we've talked through it, I'm like, yeah, maybe they didn't say it. Maybe that was actually a pretty good strategy.
Yeah,
because everybody assumes, yeah, I'm in pretty good shape, and then you look at yourself in the mirror. Are you know, even worse, somebody takes a picture of you with your shirt off, and you didn't know that they were doing it. Like, oh,
yeah, that was a bad angle.
Oh, yeah, the lighting was not good there.
Yeah, the classic, like, man, you know, my hair's okay. I haven't lost too much hair, and someone gets a picture of you doing one of these.
Oh, yeah,
and you're like, oh,
yeah, that happened to me at church of all places the other day. We were there, and somebody
supposed to be a safe place.
Yeah, they took a picture of the back of like everybody spaced out and everything, and it's like, from behind, it was a big room with people spread out, and I was like, okay, maybe I would have found myself, but then it was like right behind me in this big shiny spot in the back. I was like, oh, I need to shave my head again.
You don't do people dirty like that in church.
Yeah, that was bad. That was a shot to the self-esteem. They were keeping me humble. So God bless them all. They were keeping me humble. They know me. So anyway.
Well, you know what? Let's go. With that, let's go from bad to mm-hmm. to good.
Really good.
I'm real pumped for the beer that we're talking about tonight. Mm-hmm. We are doing Dogfish Head 60 Minute.
Okay, question. Did you do cans or bottles?
I did a bottle.
Okay.
Mostly because that's what I could find.
the original packaging.
Original packaging. I'm gonna open this guy because I want it. It has been a day, and I am looking forward to a beer.
Isn't that the best? And a beer at the end of the, like a day that was kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, just a, yeah, you know, alcoholism. you know, it reminds me of, one of my favorite quotes from my beautiful, beautiful wife. Mm. Man, that was beautiful beer. It was when we had our kids. Mm-hmm. I think we had two very little kids and our life was very, very stressful. This was before we had the three kids and our life became more stressful. But my wife had the habit of, you know, she would have a beer or a cocktail or something in the evening. Mm. And, you know, we were both talking about dieting and like things we could cut out. And I was like, you could cut out that beer in the evening. Like that's a decent amount of calories. You know, that's a easy thing to do. And she's like, you don't understand. Like that's my coping beer. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I do to cope.
Yeah.
And I can stop coping whenever you want me to.
Yeah.
And I was like, loud and clear.
Yeah. Maybe. Nah, maybe not though. So the last few episodes, the ongoing theme has been Kenan's, the availability of fresh beer in arm's length of you. So
yeah,
where we stand this week, the people are dying to know. I've had people sending me messages wanting to know, is Kenan going to be able to find a fresh beer?
Yeah. And
when was your beer brewed?
So my beer was bottled on June 3rd.
June 3rd.
So okay, that is it ain't too bad.
Okay,
that's about 3 months, which is about. And admittedly, I don't feel too horrible about it because, so I made a special pilgrimage to the downtown Specs here in Houston.
Bold.
Mostly because I found myself going like, okay, I have to get beer like that has high turnover, has a good selection. I also want to try and get some stuff for my, you know, personally, and who, like, where in Houston can I go do that? That's, you know, relatively close.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, downtown Specs is probably as good as any.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked up a couple of things that were all in the like 1 to 3 month territory.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I just have to, admittedly, I was spoiled rotten working at a brewery, and it's just like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to pick up an IPA. Yeah. The one that I just packaged today. Yeah.
Right.
Or like, I'm going to take some IPA home. And it's like, well, we've got inventory of the batch we did on Tuesday and the batch we did like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to pull from this inventory over here.
Mm.
And like the same thing. If I had an old beer in my fridge, I'd just go, oh no, that beer's 3 months old. Trash it. Like, and so I am spoiled rotten. And to a certain degree, I have to start adjusting my expectations.
Mm. Yes. You're like Clark Kent on Superman 2 after he gave up his powers, and you're in that cafe. I'm talking about classic Superman, not these.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you now. I'm just gonna stop you there. I have not seen any of the Christopher Reeve Supermans all the way through.
Oh, well, the first one is super boring, but the second one is a work of art. It's a gem. I mean, the whole Kneel before Zod. If just to watch that kneel, and that's what you need to. Houston, Planet Houston. You need to, those references. You just need. It's so campy and silly and awesome.
I know it's on the list. I've got a lot of. Don't get me started on the list because I know I got plenty of things that I have not.
Yeah, available. I think on HBO Max. I think I just signed in on that one. I didn't sign up for it anyway. We don't need to get into all those details. I have it in a can. We'll talk actual beer. I have it in a can since I got both cameras there.
Yeah, double camera.
And yeah, I went super, super official. Not only am I pouring it into a glass, I'm pouring it into the official IPA glass.
Oh,
handcrafted.
Spieglau,
it's called, for this beer. It's like this beer was made for this, or this glass was made for this beer. And there we go. The science behind it is, I don't know, that's kind of an aggressive.
Questionable.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's probably spot on, but
it is. It is there.
I mean, look at that, though. Mm-hmm. I kind of aggressively poured that, but anyway. So, yeah, I'm going IPA glass, the 60-minute in the IPA glass.
Yeah,
which,
absolutely.
By the way, I joke about the science behind it. I think there are certain IPAs that you put in this glass, and they just make them sing. It's just like it pops in a little more of that flavor or something.
I will 100% support the notion that glassware does have an impact on beer. Mm-hmm. Even if it is just, psychosomatic, where like drinking a beer out of a particular piece of glassware impacts your perception of it. Onto the beer, because people, as I'm sure, as much they like listening to us and hearing us talk about our boring lives, what they really want to know, is how oxidized is our beer.
Oh.
But in all seriousness, like this is a really solid old school IPA. And I say old school IPA, and I'm sure there's some like nerd out there that goes, it wasn't shipped to India, was it? And like, this beer, I think I was looking up records and stuff for it, and it was like, I think it was originally released back in 2003. Mm-hmm. So this beer is beer is old enough to drive.
Yeah,
like we'll put it that way, and so this has been around for a while. I mean, the Dogfish Head 60-minute, 90-minute, 120, mm-hmm. There was a period of time, I want to say it might have been around like the 2010, late aughts, whatever, where it was. They were considered to be the like, holy cow, these are the best IPAs in America. Mm-hmm. And how much of that was hype, or how much of that was our old boy Sam, like, giving Maxim, here's a fat stack of cash to call it the best IPA in the country,
right,
whatever. But it is just a good beer. And we've talked a little bit about the BJCP styles as well. I can't remember which episode it was we talked about it, but the beer judge certification program, basically the dog breeds of beer styles that all beers, when you submit them for judging, they're compared to, like, hey, how close is this to an IPA? 60-minute IPA is, at least at one time, was, yeah, if you're looking for an IPA, mm-hmm. this is it. It's not overly aggressive. It's not, even just looking at stats, 6% alcohol. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. that's IPA. 60%, 60 IBU. Yeah, that's where you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, color is just like the perfect gold. I mean, mm-hmm. I was about to, my soapbox is calling me, man. Like, it's just asking me to jump on it.
Real quick, before you jump on that soapbox, like, stretch out your, get your hamstrings warm so you don't want to pull a hammy when you're jumping, doing box jumps.
Yeah.
Some things to keep in mind. Let's all go back 2003. So we know where we were collectively. The number one movie in 2003, care to venture a guess?
Oh, man. 2003. I don't know. Was it a? Oh man, I don't know. I was gonna make an awful guess, and then I don't know. Hit me with it, please.
Lord of the Rings: Return of the King. So one third of the greatest trilogy of all time.
Yeah, that was.
Are you taking? So I'm at the beer. Are you talking about the movie? Because either way, I'm on board.
The answer is yes. Yeah. Let's. God, that would be such an excellent pairing with, like, drink a case of 60-minute and watch get a six pack of 60-minute and watch Return of the King.
Yeah.
Because, man, I think I'm ready for that soapbox. So
do it.
So beer drinkers out there listening to this, this podcast, think back to the last IPA you had. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking just like regular IPA. Like if there was fruit in it or lactose or any of that other stuff, like, you know, forget about it. Go mm-hmm. farther back. Mm-hmm. And I want you to note how far that beer is against this. Mm. Because this is not big citrus, like punch you in your face. Mm-hmm. This is not big tropical anything. It's fairly balanced. There is a decent amount of bitterness, kind of a hop tea kind of level of hop flavor, lots of, you know, pine resin. It's a fairly just balanced all around IPA, but it's not like aggressively loud. It's mm-hmm. just balanced and well-rounded. There's some malt character. Mm. And that's not what IPA has become. And I'm not gonna say whether that's good or bad or whatever. Styles evolve as people drink them. And I think there's no style that has evolved quite as much as IPA has in the last like 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this, I think, is a great benchmark to at least revisit and go stand alone on itself. You take the style off. You don't say, well, you know, what kind of beer is this?
Yeah.
This is just a good beer.
Yeah.
And then you say IPA and you go, oh, I don't know. Is this a, you know, especially if you were to say, oh, this is an East Coast IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Because that it is.
Technically, yeah, that's New England, right? Delaware, is that New England?
It is New England.
I mean, it's named after Maine. You split the difference from Delaware, from Rehoboth, which is South Maine, or South Delaware, to Maine, which I think Dogfish Head is actually northern. I don't remember. I saw one of the videos, like an old video. It's funny how Dogfish Head, Sam Calagione, and his wife, Mariah, we're very close friends, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, my goodness.
This is just me. I think they do a great job with social media. And of all the breweries out there, he still will jump on and do chats and things like that, kick it a little. I wouldn't even say kick it old school, but just like have people.
That's just who he is.
Yeah.
Like Sam is a, like, I haven't met the dude. I think I saw him once from afar at GABF at one time, or actually, but at CBC. But he is like, he is just an easygoing, casual dude. And like you see videos and whatnot of him, mm-hmm. that's just who he is.
Yeah.
He's a great communicator and a good spokesperson for beer at mm-hmm. large. He's incredibly passionate about what he does.
Yeah.
And it shows mm-hmm. in like how Dogfish Head has expanded and grown over the years.
His enthusiasm, I would say, it plays a big part in me really embracing craft beer. I liked it, you know. I was, but as far as like, I don't know, like I've got a whole room dedicated to it basically in my house. Home brewing, like his, he has a homebrew book, Extreme Brewing, I believe is the name of it, which when you look at it now, like that's quaint. Because the whole thought of extreme brewing, like now it's, you know, if you didn't sacrifice a child into the boiling pot, then it's not that extreme.
Oh, you only sacrificed one child?
Yeah, and how old?
Yeah, exactly. Was it really a child?
Yeah.
Well, no, because that's the thing is like it was almost like a meme back in like late aughts or so, kind of like the real like American, like we had, looking at the history of craft beer in America, like, you know, you had this big surge in the 90s and there was a lot of trash and it was really like everything's a micro brew. And then, you know, that bubble kind of burst a little bit in the 90s. And then, you know, in the aughts, we kind of built back up. And in about like the end of, you know, late aughts or so, we really started getting into this meme of like, oh, what can I put in my beer? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and Dogfish Head to a certain degree led the charge with that, mm-hmm. For better or for worse. But one of the things that I can always say about Dogfish Head is every single beer that I have had from them is it still tastes like beer, and it still seems like beer.
Yeah, it was never to I don't think there was ever a let's just put it in to see if it can be done. It was always, I mean, that might have been the initial thought.
Yeah, right?
He talks about his first beer that he brewed on his own. Had like wild cherries that he just kind of happened across at a farmer's market. He saw it and he's like, oh, I'm putting that in a beer. And he did like a cherry stout or something like that. Like a sour cherry stout or something along those lines.
Right? Yeah.
And, but it's always been like well thought out. Like even like, you know, look at the line of minute IPAs that they have, you know, 120, 90, 60, 75. There may be like a 4.5 minute. I don't know. I think that's.
I was going to say I know they've got a because they also have at least one brew pub out there, and so I'm sure they've done all kinds of fun one offs. You know, I'm sure they've done a 0 minute, and if they haven't done a 0 minute, then Sam, you're
right
on it, Sam.
Yeah, maybe they do just hot water.
Yeah,
0 minute.
But I mean, an excellent example. One of my, I mean, they've got I feel like I don't know what order we're supposed to go in, or like what's the thing that we're supposed to be talking about. I guess let's just bullshit about beer for,
it's what the people have come to expect.
This is what they want. This is what the people want, damn it. you know, Dogfish Head has, I'm going to share maybe my two favorite Dogfish Head memories. And unfortunately they're not connected to 60 Minute, but they are still testament to the clout that they have as a brewery in the craft beer circle, sort of their pedigree. Pedigree is maybe not the right word. Anyway, they deserve respect for many, many reasons. And I will say two of the which are, one, their historical beer series, where Dogfish Head goes out and they basically are just trying to recreate historical beers, beers that could have existed or could have been brewed, 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000, however many years ago. And the very first one that they did was Midas Touch. And I want to say this was one of the first, I think this was the first expensive, like truly expensive beer that I bought. I picked it up at an HEB. and this was back before it was super mass produced by them. And I was like, I picked up a 4-pack of it. And I want to say it was like 15 or 18 bucks. Like I think it was getting close to 20 after tax. And I felt guilty buying it because like I could get a 6-pack of Shiner for like $6.99.
Yep.
And the cashier at HEB still gave me a look like, you're paying, like, is this any good? You're buying a 4-pack of a beer for like 19 bucks?
I've had that conversation more times than I'd like to admit.
Yeah. And I felt a small bit of shame going, I don't know if it's good. It just sounded interesting. Uh-huh. And it was good. I will say it's been long enough that I can't tell you if it was truly worth the 19 bucks, but that's beside the point. It was a moment for myself because as I was thinking about it and standing in line and I was expecting the cashier to say something and I was building up my argument to justify dropping, you know, what at that point was like an hour and a half's worth of like labor, you know, as far as my hourly wage goes on beer. And 4 bottles of it, mind you. I found myself going, if I was buying a $20 bottle of wine, no one would have bat an eye. And that was a real big moment for me of going like dropping 20 bucks on a good beer, especially one that is, you know, has a lot of value points, for lack of a better word. I mean, the fact that it's made with all these niche ingredients. I mean, it's got, you know, it's made with honey and grapes. And at least at one point, I don't know if it still is, but it was made with saffron. Mm. And it's 9% alcohol. Like, it's a big beer. Mm-hmm. That was the moment where I realized, like, beer can be beyond. Beer is not always this, like, low end spectrum alcoholic beverage, mm-hmm. always forever below wine and spirits. Mm. And I think Dogfish Head has done a very good job of elevating that beer up to that point.
Yeah, I can't think of another beer before that, other than maybe something Belgian, like from actual Belgian beer that,
exactly.
But nobody knew, like, that wasn't some common that a lot, like, it would have been a, you know, a Trappist beer or something like that. But that even looks like a wine bottle.
Exactly.
Right.
A Chimay Premier or a Grand Reserve or, La Fin du Monde or, you know, whatever. Granted, that's Canadian, but like, you know, but yeah, they say like, oh, but this is in a 750 and it's got a, you know, the cork and cage and it looks like champagne and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Versus a like, oh, no, you know, this is just a, 12 ounce bottle. And it's like, oh, yeah, Shiner comes in that, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
I can get my my butt in that too, and that was a big deal. And I want to say I have my other like big memory, or the other big point for Dogfish Head, where it was a big revelation even for myself, was. They did a beer called Noble Rot, mm-hmm. Which, and granted, that's this has been in the last 5 years or so. This is not a like crazy thing that happened, you know, 10 years ago. But it was a wine must and wort, mixed fermentation combination of things, and it was absolutely delightful. And as I was drinking that beer, I found myself going like, holy cow, this is not only an excellent beer, but this is a beer that could stand right beside wine. Mm-hmm. And not in a like, well, you know, here's a beer that's as good as wine, but a like, no, this is a beer that could also serve as wine.
Yep.
And like, this is the beer that you give to craft, or wait, this is the craft beer you give to wine drinkers, uh-huh. to go, there is room for you at the table.
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of the beautiful things about Dogfish Head, is that it was a bridge brewery for, like, say, the wine drinkers, or, you know, like,
oh, my, absolutely.
You know, because we all have those friends. I don't know about everybody should have a wine enthusiast friend. It's usually like a, your aunt's friends that you just, I don't know, like somehow you end up hanging out with like once every year and a half at whatever event that is. And they're always fun people, but it's like, it's just a little bit of disconnect until then Dogfish Head bridged that gap. And, but you know what, that's Dogfish Head, beautiful. And I'm glad, you know, the whole merger with, Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams, all that kind of stuff. It's like more power to them. Watch and see how that goes. You know, that gets into a whole nother category of conversation. But I, you know, just let's jump back to the, I want to pick your brain about IPAs. So this IPA, I'm about to pour another one, 'cause it's so good. It's like so drinkable.
Yeah,
right?
Like that's the thing, is like there's a lot to be said about a beer for how quickly you drink it when you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
it doesn't require, like, it doesn't grab me by the shirt collar and say, pay attention to me. I love it. Every sip, I'm like, swallow. I'm like, oh,
if you choose to pay attention to it, mm-hmm. there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
But you can also just drink it.
You know what it is? It's one of those, like, and we're two dudes just talking here, right? Like when we first met before we were married to our wives, when we first met them, there was that night where you're like, I can't, I just, you know, you turn around at the end of the night and you're like, I just spent the whole night with this awesome lady.
Oh yeah.
And I couldn't tell you like one specific thing that happened. It was just like the look, you know, the look in her eyes, or there's the seeing their side profile when she was not paying attention to me staring at her. And I was backing away because we were in a crowded place, and I was nervous. I needed to pass gas or something, or whatever it was. I don't know about you.
Yeah, but you find yourself going, it's been like, holy cow, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Like the cliche, like we were up all night just talking, and it's like, no, you were just, yeah, that sound. Like, yeah, you were just up all night talking.
Yeah.
And what you were talking about, the substance of what you were talking about was good. But what's more important is the fact that you could keep talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's like, and I think that's, we need to name that.
Yeah,
that feeling, that sensation. And I don't know what it is, but that's a quality that I think all of these beers that we've been talking about in required drinking are those beers that they're fantastic. You can really chew on them if that's what you're wanting to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn off your brain for a minute and you are just like, I could just sit here and watch a football game, like sit around a fire pit, you know, be by the pool, whatever. Mm-hmm. You could turn your brain off and you could still enjoy that beer for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of duality of beer, that it can be phenomenal when you pay attention to it,
mm-hmm.
but it can also still be, yeah, this is just great drinking.
Okay. So what in this beer, it's 6%, right? They went with the 66 IBU or whatever they did. 60 IBU.
Yeah. 60 IBU. 60 IBU. Yeah.
6.0%, you know, ABV. It's so well balanced, or as far like it's hops are up front, right? Hops are the, but you know, the thing, like when you search on their site and you look on their videos, they never mentioned the hops used. And of course now we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the method by which they hop the beer with the Vibra football filled thing and that whole story. And
yeah,
continuously hopped.
Their whole kind of claim to fame for this is, that they just find a way to constantly be feeding hops into this beer over mm-hmm. the course of their 60 minutes. And admittedly, you know, I don't know the exact machinations. Admittedly, I don't know what this football thing is you're talking about, but I'm sure it's amazing.
you know, those, but, you don't know what those are. It was a piece of cardboard.
Oh no, you're talking about the actual, like the football diorama. Where,
yeah, it's just a board, you know, and they put the little pieces of plastic on it.
Yeah,
and it's you know, the plastic football players, and it vibrates. So you set them up, and they
and then they fight, and then
And that's he got one of those from a garage sale, and he set that up over the boil kettle, and he put the hops up there like in a coffee can or something, and with a hole in it, when it shook, it just like one or two pellets at a time came out over the entire 60-minute boil. And that was the thing.
That's ridiculous. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's cute.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna start up a fight with Sam.
Okay.
Because I would lose. but the whole point being that I don't even know what the point is. The point is it's really good beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hopped. It's hopped consistently, and you know, they don't mention, I mean, we've trolled the website, and I'm sure if we did some serious deep digging, we could probably find some article from whenever where they slip and say, oh, it's all, you know, Cascade, or it's all Columbus, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't all Columbus. There's other stuff
going on here. There's some clone recipes out there that you can find if you want. I want to say it's like Tomahawk one. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So Tomahawk, God, man, how long you want to talk about hops? TLDR, Tomahawk is essentially the same thing as, Columbus and Zeus.
Okay.
They're oftentimes referred to as just CTZ, okay. Columbus Tomahawk Zeus.
Yeah.
They're essentially used interchangeably. They're technically not the same in the sense that they have their own like copyrights and their own patents and crap, but they, if I recall, they are genetically the same and they have the same flavor profile and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. So according to this clone recipe from Homebrew Talk, which may or may not be accurate because we don't know who put this on here. Some guy, Warrior, Amarillo, Simcoe, and more Amarillo. Warrior, Amarillo, Amarillo Gold, Simcoe, Amarillo Gold for dry hopping. Okay. Then Irish Moss. Yeah. Anyway.
And that's the other thing is, it makes me wonder how much the recipe might have changed over the years. The reason I bring that up is because, I mean, Amarillo is it's been around for a while. I don't know if it was around in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly,
maybe that's why they never specifically say.
Yeah, and you know what? That's actually pretty smart because one of the things that plagues the craft beer industry, and we haven't had this in a while, but is a true hop shortage. And there was a point in time where hop contracting for your big flagship brands while you were growing was like the thing that kept you up at night, where you weren't going to be able to get enough of the hops that you needed. And so it was a very risky thing to go, hey, we're going to hitch our wagon to this really awesome hop, only to find out, you know, 3 years later, like, oh, you're the only one that really likes it. So like in your market, like, man, you're selling like 5-10,000 barrels of it. Like you're doing great, but you're the only one. And so, yeah, you can't get it anymore.
Huh.
The hop contract or hops, getting hops in general, I think has gotten a lot easier in the last couple of years. One, we haven't had any major shortages.
We still got a few months left in 2020.
Oh, I know. Oh God, what did I do? Everyone, knock on wood. Just if you're listening to this at home, knock on wood right now, say a couple of Hail Marys. But there was a time, and I forget the year, but it was sometime here in the 2010s. I don't know, the nomenclature escapes me, but where there was a hop shortage, where there was just a big crop of hops just got effed. It was bad. Just the way hop contracts work is it kind of, you know, shit rolls downhill. If you're the small guy, if you're the first ones to get shorted, typically. And so, Sam Adams, coincidentally, was one of the big producers that said, I'm going to release a bunch of my hops that, I over-contracted. I am going to release some of my hops and sell them to smaller craft breweries to let them basically to just sort of spread the pain around. It hasn't been as much of an issue in the last couple of years because a lot of the craft breweries, one, they're doing things like 60 Minute is, where they're not saying exactly what's in here. So if they need to make small tweaks, they can absorb that. But also the market has changed in such a way where like everybody's kind of gotten okay with hops changing all the time. Be like, oh, hey, I got this new IPA coming out. And instead of it being a deterrent, we're like, oh, it tastes different than last time. It tastes different from last time. Like, it's got a new hop. Check out this new hop. This is the dankest of dank. It doesn't even have a name, man. It's just a number. And that's all, that's cool. That's desirable.
Yeah.
But we're going to, like, we've sort of, I think we've got a little bit of a, like, you know, lobster in the boil, or the frog in the boiling water going on, where everyone is like, the prices of these like hoppy beers keeps going up, you know, a la, you know, your hazies, your dank big boys. And
you say hazy, and that's one thing that just struck me, like the moment you said hazy, how clear this beer is.
Oh, it is a true, like, it's not a hazy beer. Mm-mm. It is a bright, classical, just, it's right, technically. Mm. but the prices have kind of been slowly creeping up on a lot of hoppy beers. Mm-hmm. And some of that is, I guarantee you, just because, yeah, you know, they're trying to get particular hops. Mm-hmm. That are crazy expensive. But some of it is also just the price of hops just is kind of creeping up. Mm-hmm. Especially trying to do really primo, excellent stuff. Again, everyone's chasing new, and few people are sitting here going, you know what, I'm just going to make a beer with Columbus, because Columbus is cheap. Mm-hmm. Columbus is somehow we found ourselves talking about the hop market and all of that.
Yeah.
But it is, Dogfish Head 60 minute, 90 minute, and 120 are all excellent IPAs. Mm-hmm. Of different varying strengths, and I really think that that's the sort of thing that, you know, much like with Sierra Nevada Pale Ale that we did a couple times back, all of these Dogfish Head IPAs are excellent sort of a lupulin threshold resets. Yeah. To like, let's go back, this is what we started at.
Yep.
And realize that everything that we have been drinking for the most part in the last, you know, couple of years has become the extreme beer that Sam had sort of prophesized however many years ago when he wrote that book.
Yeah, I don't remember when the book came out. He's got a few books. I've got them sitting around here. He's got a hand, like, his business book was a Brewing Up a Business is a great one. I've read twice. Haven't practiced any of what he's preached in that book. There's that Extreme Brewing. There's He Said Beer, She Said Wine, or something like that, which is a good, like, speaking of beer and wine kind of, you know, comparison. He's got a new one out that I don't remember the name, or newer one, his newest one, I guess. It's been out a couple of years now, but anyway. And then also in his Brewing Up a Business, he has a story about playing ping pong in just socks. Like Red Hot Chili Pepper style, like just one sock.
Yeah, I'm
in college.
You know what? I think I might have missed that. It's been a long time since I've read that. There was one story that stuck with me from there, where, like, I think he was on his way to a beer event, and their truck broke down, and they had to rent a U-Haul. And then they had to transfer all the beer from the truck to the U-Haul, and then drive the U-Haul to the event. And just talking about, like, being, like, muddy and bloody and gross as he's trying to serve at, like, a high class, you know, like, let's talk about how beer is, like, an exceptional high class thing. And he's, like, you know,
bloody just, knuckles. And
exactly. Just all busted up from frankly, a shitty day at work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know what, that's kind of 60 minute in a nutshell, though, right? It can be a high class thing, but it comes from just dudes loving beer. I don't know. It's just like it's an approachable IPA for sure. You know, it's just, you're not going to be disappointed with it. Well, maybe some people would be. There's always somebody.
Yeah, you can't please all the people all the time.
But it's a delicious beer. I wish it. I don't know. 2003, when you think about, like, life in 2000, it doesn't sound like that long ago because it's this side of the millennium. Yeah. But I mean, when you think about, like, one, movies that year, we haven't seen movies like that in a very long time because of the streaming and everything like that. One, 2020's killed movies, but streaming and shows and stuff, are very, like, they've come way up. Movies then were so big. It was like old school, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. What else was on that list for 2003? I need to pull that up. It was like
I'm pulling up too because now I'm curious.
It was just some heavy
Identity.
Yeah, Identity Scary Movie awesome. Three, Scary Movie Three, Two or Three. Two's the best.
Big
one.
Fish. Oh, holy cow! Everybody stop. Mystic River.
Yeah, yeah.
We can. You know what? We could stop tonight with with Dogfish Head. Dogfish Head 60 Minute is an excellent beer. Required drinking. You need to just flashback to 2003 and watch Return of the King extended cut because it's the only one worth watching.
And extended or nothing.
Yeah. And do yourself a favor and watch Mystic River.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Some of the best acting you will see this side of, I don't know, just period. But what I want you to know is that Return of the King, assuming that you weren't like actively watching the Oscars or old enough to watch the Oscars in 2003, because I'm old, is in 2003, Return of the King swept the Oscars. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say it's an unprecedented number of Academy Awards that it won.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, their actors were nominated. I think they had at least one actor in, early actor. I can't speak for their actresses, but at least one actor nominated for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, you know, look, Viggo Mortensen's gonna get Best Actor for playing Aragorn. Yeah, Aragorn.
Mm-hmm. Son of Arathorn, also called Strider.
Yeah, he goes by many names.
Yeah,
but
he's a ranger from the north. Sorry,
you don't need to apologize.
can't help it.
But like, you know, Ian McKellen. I think I can't remember everyone who was nominated, but it was just a crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But they all lost to Sean Penn and Tim Robbins in Mystic River.
Mm.
And it was basically a like Return of the King got all of these Oscars. Mystic River got the rest.
Mm-hmm.
It is a phenomenal film. Everyone should go see it. And I want to say it's a Clint Eastwood movie.
I think you're right. Yeah. He directed.
Directed by Clint Eastwood, mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon, Sean Penn, Tim Robbins.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like a lot of these movies on this list, like Kill Bill Volume 1, Last Samurai, The Matrix sequels that, you know, X2 of the early X-Men, X2, you know. I don't know. There's some clunkers list in here, too. Terminator 3, Too Fast, Too Furious. Yeah, okay. Freddy versus Jason, that's a classic.
Oh, Daredevil.
Yeah, all those.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's the thing is like movies were such a big deal. But then you look, you know what we should have known in 2003 when you look at the music from 2003, just a dumpster fire of it's like what happened to music? It's like we should have.
It sounds like you're arguing that we deserve 2020.
Yeah, we were making deposits starting with the music of 2003.
Oh no.
Yeah, like Nickelback was one of the top five rock or top. Three rock bands of the year or something like it's just the music just betrays what the movies were. We were all distracted by Lord of the Ring, Return of the King. And meanwhile, on the music side, it's falling apart. And, but luckily maybe, you know, God knew in his sovereignty, look, we're going to hit them with Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. It's going to blow their minds. We're going to hit them. They don't even know this is hitting them yet, but Dogfish Head 60 Minute IPA. You know, they don't even know how good this beer is going to be because their palates can't even handle it yet. But I'm like laying foundation, but we can't give it all to them. I haven't returned yet. Return of the King is just foreshadowing my returning. This is a God conversation. I'm guessing. He's like, so we're going to have to give them a really, the Unleashed Nickelback. fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a test for mankind. You know, you can't have all the good things yet. But we got 60 minutes. I'll trade it. I'll say, you know what? I'll endure some Nickelback and whatever else was on there. There's some Linkin Park.
Yeah, I'll trade Nickelback for 60 minute.
Yeah, it's good.
In the sense that I will keep 60 minute if I also get to keep six, if I also have to keep Nickelback.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, because it's the endless jokes and our whatever material.
Yeah, we need it. We need this too.
Yeah, if you didn't have Nickelback, would you appreciate, I don't know, Soundgarden as much? You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's it. Yeah. If every day is Christmas.
Right. And then Christmas is never. So anyway. So I know you've got a big day tomorrow.
I got a big day tomorrow.
So we don't want to look. The main message of these episodes, everybody, one is the brilliance of Keenan, you know.
Oh, stop.
Going into these beers and letting us know why they're so good. But the main message is that they're so good. That Dogfish Head. In a Spieglau IPA glass, ribbed for all of our pleasures. The bottom there, it's got bumps on it. 60 minute IPA in cans or bottles, and you can find it fresh as a daisy out there in the market. At least keep blurring. There we go. Yeah, you know.
I mean pretty much everywhere. Like I mean it's ubiquitous. Again, check your date codes, talk to your beer clerks at wherever you're buying your beer. But it's just. It's there. Mm-hmm. They're all shelfies, and they're good.
Yeah, and this one, you know, I may have said this about Sierra Nevada. We may have to have a pizza off, like which pizza this beer goes best with, like something supreme with something, or, you know, lots of ingredients with some spice.
Yeah,
this would be pretty sweet.
You know what? I feel like this is a pizza with green bell pepper.
Yeah,
this is. I don't know what else it's got to have. But I think this needs green bell pepper.
Well, you got to have mushrooms. Do you like mushrooms? I love mushrooms.
I'm not a big mushroom fan. But okay, well,
mushrooms on half.
That's beside the point.
We're deciding what we're going to do when we're able to do this in person. We're going to do this, bring a camera and a recorder, and you're going to listen to us eat pizza and drink beer, and then we'll we'll figure it out.
Someday soon.
Someday hopefully. Soon. Yeah. Yeah, that's soon in the grand scheme. It's not going to be like from now till like 2003 to now. That's 17 years. And that doesn't seem like that long ago at all. You know, I watched Lord of the Rings a couple weeks ago.
Man.
Yeah. I may go do that again. Anyway, I love Lord of the Rings. I'm not afraid to say it.
No, it's excellent. Man, don't even get me started because I have done way too many marathons of those three films.
The extended version is, that's it.
It's just, why would you? Why wouldn't you?
Once you've seen the extended versions, you go back and watch the theatrical versions. There's a couple of things I'll give the theatrical version. Like, spoiler alert, it was 17 years ago. Spoiler alert. In the second movie, in The Two Towers, Saruman gets killed in the extended versions. They show it. In the original theatrical version, they don't show that. But that's more, that's closer to the book. Because in the book, spoiler alert again, but it's been out since like 1950, whatever.
Yeah.
60, whatever. When did Lord of the, I don't know, 60, 50 something? 52?
Don't ask me.
I don't know.
You're talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah. Anyway, Saruman does not die. He actually goes, he and what's the guy with him? Screama? What's the...
Wormtongue?
Wormtongue, yes. They go and they take over the Shire. And then when the hobbits come back after the wedding and everything in Gondor, they have to go and fight. And so all the hobbits are like, what are we going to do? They've all been enslaved. Like the flashback scene, you know, that Sam shows Sam when the shackles and everything. That's what's going on in the Shire. And then they come in and the guys come in, Sam and Frodo and Merry and the other one.
Pippin.
Pip, yeah. Yeah. And so they come in and they're like, nah, we're warriors. Boom.
And don't you hate it when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
When you leave and your hometown gets enslaved by a wizard?
Yeah, and his creepy sidekick. All right. We should do a whole episode on Lord of the Rings.
Oh, don't even get me started. I will 100% agree to this.
Okay. There's actually a guy here in Houston that's an expert.
Well, my thing is, this might be a good point to end on, mm-hmm. just to leave people intrigued. But back before I had kids and when I had time, One of my, I know you just, it's a trade-off.
No, like, theoretically, I know, I think of what you're speaking of, but yeah. go on.
One of the favorite pastimes you should do, did it about once a year. My wife and I would do a Lord of the Rings marathon. We'd do all three of them, and we would do all of the Hobbit meals. So we would do we would just start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we would do breakfast, second breakfast,
elevensies,
luncheon, afternoon tea, and then we would do dinner, supper, and then dessert.
Okay.
And we would pair alcohol with it. We would do something fun and something like notable for each of them.
Did you braise a batch of conies?
You know what? I don't think I ever like, I don't know, highlights where I've definitely done I've done scones, I've done duck, molten lava cake from Mount Doom.
Oh, that's fantastic. Dude, what are we doing?
Like, I know. We're torturing ourselves at this point.
No, this is going to be a party. We're doing this. We're putting together, you know what? This is the jumping off point. It's about to get super nerdy in here. So hang on, everybody.
We're really, really sorry, but not really.
No. Did you ever get like a church warden's pipe and like...
It definitely had thought about it, but really it was always just my excuse to like head down and just like cook.
Okay. So now it needs to become a party. I have a projector and a screen for an outdoor viewing.
Oh man.
Listen, we're going to, is this going to happen? This is going to happen.
Yeah. Please me. Don't tease me.
No, we're doing
it. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap here because I know you got a big day ahead of you.
Yeah. Oh, I got to go to sleep.
Yeah. All right. Because tomorrow, you know. All right. Well, everybody, thank you. I don't remember how long our outro is. It's been too long. I'll hit it here.
It's 23 seconds.
Is it?
I took a note.
Okay. It's good. 23 good. Seconds. All right. I'll hit it in like 7 more seconds. So thank you, everybody, for watching and listening to this episode of Required Drinking. Dogfish Head 60-minute IPA. Go get it. If you've never tried it, I'm sure there's some people watching and viewing and taking part that have never had 60-minute IPA. Go get it. Go purchase Lord of the Rings, the extended edition, the whole trilogy. Do The Hobbit, too. You don't have to. That's not required. Yeah. But
just read it the following day.
Read it. Yeah. Read The Hobbit. Watch the movie Lord of the Rings, and then drink some 60 Minute. Let us know what you think. Comments below in the YouTube or however. You can leave a review on the podcast, wherever podcasts are downloaded. And if you've enjoyed the show, to help move this whole thing along, we still have a few odds and ends to add for video and all that kind of stuff. Interbrew's Patreon will help as well, and all that kind of stuff. So, Keenan, great job today. I'm going to hit this music over here.
Oh, why thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, it is only 20 seconds. I may go to Lord of the Rings music on this outro, but anyway. All right, Keenan, good luck tomorrow.
I'm down for it.
All right. See you, everybody. That's not very long. Bye.
The preceding has been a presentation of Stewed Productions.